In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For some 15 years or so, I was a police chaplain in Dunedin. And in that capacity, I presided over, or at least took part in, a number of funerals to do with the police. Two of them, I would say, shall we say, rather high profile. One was the funeral of Peter Umbers, who was beaten to death by his own truncheon in a country road in the Manitoto, and the other, more well known to us I suppose, was that of Sergeant Stu Guthrie, who was shot and killed at Arimoana. And I noticed very strongly amongst the police and others how demoralising this was. We remember, us old people, we remember when New Zealand wasn't like this. There was one murder a year, if that, and it always took place in Auckland, and everybody was deeply shocked by it. But now there seem to be murders all over the place, and it's not what we remember, not what we expect. We used to drive in to Arthur Barnett's and go in and buy something, leaving the car running outside, so I'm told. We would go off on holiday and leave the doors of our houses unlocked. I find that hard to believe, but I have been told that's true. I think if you're going to get robbed, you're sitting up and asking for it if you do that. But certainly, New Zealand seems to be now a very different place from what it was, say, 50 or 60 years ago. And we lament that. We find it difficult to cope with. And when something happens, as has happened in Napier in recent days, we do find it very demoralising. And we wonder what on earth we could do about it. And I suppose the first thing that we want to do about it very often is to make people more religious. That's what religion is about. Religion will tell you how to behave. You don't go around shooting policemen, or anybody else for that matter. And your religion tells you not to do it, and because it tells you not to do it, you won't do it, and therefore religion has got a use. And I've known quite a number of people who, not religious themselves at all, have thought that religion was good for the lower orders, as it were, because it kept them in order and told them not to pinch their things, let alone go around shooting policemen or anybody else like that. So we see that to a certain extent. What are we going to do? We flail about. What are we going to do to make the world a better place? How is it going to be overcome? Why are things going in this direction and not in another direction? Why are things not getting better and not worse? Well, we need to, I suppose, have some perspective where history is concerned, because things go up and down enormously in human societies, and we've lived in some ways a very favoured life here in New Zealand in the last two or three generations. And that is not something that you can rely on. Most other places have been going up and down like yo-yos in many ways, and we're going to do, to a certain extent, the same sort of thing. Not to such a great extent, but nevertheless, our expectation that human and social life is safe and sensible and moral and all of those things, good expectations as these are not really very realistic most of the time in most places of the world. And because we are now part of the world in ways that we couldn't even imagine 60 or 70 years ago, so we are affected by this, and that's something we just have to put up with. Now, one of the things about it is that this has not just been our experience. It is also the experience of the Lord God. God also has been subject to the whim of human wickedness. The incarnation was the beginning of a process which he voluntarily undertook to enter into the same kind of things and the same kind of insecurities and the same kind of angers and resentments that we ourselves feel when things, as it were, let us down. Sometimes, of course, we direct these angers and resentments towards God himself. How could he let us down? How could it be like this? How could things turn out this way? But they have done the same for God. And God likewise has suffered and endured much worse than any one of us is going to suffer or endure. And obviously he's thought it worthwhile to do so. obviously the business of suffering and the business of people going off the rails and the business of random, pointless, useless evil is very, very difficult to cope with. I find it extremely difficult to cope with. Every now and then, I don't cope with it at all. I don't mind human beings being tortured and all that kind of stuff, but when I think of those poor little Chinese bears being drained of their bile, something which you've probably not even heard of, I don't sleep at night. It seems to be like torturing children, and that's what people have done as well. Things like that just simply make it very difficult for me to, not to believe in God exactly, but not to be angry with God. How could he possibly? I mean, we can have a little bit of suffering here and there. Okay, all right, you know, it's good for drawing attention to yourself if you're having a little bit of a suffering. I rather enjoy that aspect of it. But in fact, it's very difficult to cope with on a grand or particularly nasty scale, if I can put it like that. And it does destabilize how we feel about our life and what its purposes are. And so in Eastertide, it's important to remember that it's out of this that the resurrection comes. The Blessed Lord himself upon the cross said, "Why have you forsaken me?" This is the cry of somebody who finds that things are no longer making sense, that things should be different, that if God is God, why are things like this? If religion really means something, if it's got answers, why is the world the way it is? And why am I personally, or my friends, or those I love, having to suffer? Particularly, why are the innocent having to put up with it all? Well, that's why Christianity is, in the end, an enormously satisfying religion. It has the only answer to it that I know of, and that is that God participates in it. It would be, to my mind, a magnificent argument for atheism if it was the case that God simply presided in the heavenly halls and said, there, dears, I love you and I do hope you'll get through this okay. That seems to me no comfort at all. The remarkable thing is that somehow God not only was disappointed in our behavior and all those things that you expect God to be, it's also that God in the end was destabilized by it in some way, as we are. That it came to be too much meaninglessness, too much pointlessness. I remember also as the chaplain to the police that they, although this happened before I joined in this particular capacity, they found the Erebus disaster was the thing that really changed how they felt about what they did, because all of a sudden there was too much death. They were capable of dealing with so much of it. They could deal with so many disasters, so much, you know, ill will, so much evil and so on. But Erebus was, as it were, too much for them. In the sense that it destabilized their understanding of life to a certain extent, their belief in their own worth, their belief in human beings, in human nature, their belief in the way life ought to go. And for years thereafter, policemen were perfing, that's to say they were leaving the police department, have to call it that now, not the police force, the police department, because all of a sudden they were having nightmares years later about what they'd had to confront when the planes had come back with the remains, as it were, from Antarctica. So we do very rightly and very properly are deeply troubled by this, and so we should be. Although somebody once noted that because of television we are, I think he said, confronted by everything, implicated in everything, impotent before everything, and finally indifferent to everything. And I suppose there's some truth in that. The world has changed in the most extraordinary kind of way, so that it all sort of comes into our living rooms. And this can be very destabilizing and distressing and so on. So what I need to repeat to you is that although it seems terrible, it's something that's also part of God's experience. And furthermore, the resurrection and Eastertide and so on tell us that it's through this time and through this kind of destabilization that the resurrection comes, that the promise of eternal life is made real, that things are put back on track again. And we as Christians have to have a certain degree of moral courage to accept that by faith and to go forwards. Even though life can sometimes seem a bit senseless and pointless, we have to remember it does make sense. How God will make it up to the Chinese bears or whatever, I don't know. How justice can be served in the end, I haven't any real idea. I wish I did. But I just have to grit my teeth and clench my fists and say it will happen. God will do it. God will bring about the best possible solution out of all our troubles. And that has been proved 2,000 years ago in the Garden of the Resurrection and will be proved for each and every one of us in the glory of eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.